Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillo along with Herb Tyler. We're here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and see us. Got a great crowd here already, and if you're going to the game, stop on by, get something to eat, something to drink, and if you don't have tickets, you can come in here and watch the game on all the TVs we have and get you something to drink also. Also, to Jason and everybody here, they do a great job of if you want to order something for a special event or special place that even the holidays coming up, Acme Oyster House does cater food, so give them a call here at Acme Oyster House, and Jason will take care of that. Also, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. We couldn't do this without them, so we want to thank Map Construction. Herb, LSU, Alabama. It is one of the games you circle when it gets announced.
Yes, sir.
That's the must hear, must watch, must listen to. The game, I think a little bit has been peeled off this year because Nick Saban ain't there.
Yeah.
But still, this is an elimination game. If you lose tonight, you're not getting in that top 12.
No, you're not getting in the top 12. But what I will say is this game is so important every year that they have a bye week before for both teams. And that's very, very important. Now, here's the other thing. It's always going to play at 6:30, 7 o'clock, whatever stadium they're going to play at. But tonight – tonight they're in Death Valley where the opponents' lives come to fall on deaf ears and die, baby. That's what I'm talking about. I'm excited about tonight. I'm happy Nick Saban ain't on the other side.
Me too.
What I am most happy about is the fact that we get to see our Tigers again after 2 weeks, right? We were kind of soaking in a little bit of misery after that Texas A&M game where they kind of, let's call it what it is, they fell short. They played for 3.5 quarters, and then all of a sudden they just went away. So now I'm looking at a two-week preparation time to play the Alabama Crimson Tide coming into Tiger Stadium, and let's see exactly what's going to happen. I just think that LSU is going to be magical tonight. The stadium is going to be lit up. It's going to be electrifying. It's going to be a lot of energy, and it's going to be hard for Alabama to come in there and change that.
And you know what you got to do on offense. You got to stop Jalen Milroe. He's the straw that turns the drink there, not only as a passer but as a runner. And a lot of times, you know, when they run that little read option, you know, he's ready to pitch it. Yep. One thing with Jalen, when he does that, he's ready to run it. He's not too crazy about that pitch stuff. And well, so you understand it's a little bit different than what Reed did with A&M.
Absolutely. He reminds me a lot of myself. I like to fake the pitch and keep the ball myself. This kid, Jalen Milroe, has an act for being just a really tough running quarterback. If you look at the way he runs the football, he sees the field. He's not just there's a big wide opening, he's just running there. It's not that. He can see holes. He knows where to kind of be fluid with the football in his hand and run to the open space. And then he's fast. He's smart. He's strong. He's got really good size. He was my favorite player going into this year. I was thinking and hoping that he would have a breakout year because I felt like he's a guy that was one level away from being a rock star, superstar in this league.
You know what? He's the closest I see to Jaden Daniels.
He's the closest.
When it comes to season start.
I agree. And then, you know, and so he is the straw that stirs the drink, but he is also the aid for the lemon. He's the one that makes sure that lemon juice comes out just fine and as sweet as all outdoors. And so it's going to be tough for LSU. But what I will say, they had 2 weeks to prepare for it, right?
Right.
And so we're going to see it, and I think LSU will be all over the place. They're going to hold their disciplines. They're going to fill holes, and they're going to keep their quarterback rush lanes where they need to be.
You know, one of the things, and we've talked about Coach Saban, and it was always sort of a big matchup. And also, too, because you were playing for something here. We saw one time Leonard Fournette. Man, he was so close to being the Heisman winner that year.
He
who
did
comes
nothing.
It down?
He
Derrick Henry.
That's right.
And, man, the big man rumbled that night. And every time Fournette got the ball, I could have took a team picture of the Alabama defense. Looked like all 11 were around him.
You're right.
And man, the big man rumbled, and he won the Heisman that night.
Absolutely.
He ran right past Fournette.
When you go back and you look at that kind of that game, that season, the coach, who was the coach? Les Miles, right? What did Les Miles do? We're going to run the ball 780 times a game, and we're going to throw it two, and that's it. And then everybody knew what they were doing. So what does Coach Saban have to do then at that point? Okay, we're going to crowd the line of scrimmage. We know they're going to toss sweep. We know they're going to hand the ball to Leonard on lead, and we're just going to stop them. But you're not going to see that tonight. What you're going to see tonight is you're going to see a lot of wide-open football on both sides of the
passing
field.
Passing the ball.
All over. It's going to be all over the field. Now, one of the things that LSU has to do well tonight in order to win is find a way to run the football. Because Alabama does have a really great secondary. I say great. They're really good. They're experienced, and they have some guys that are really, really talented back there. And so Nussmeier is coming off of a time where he threw three interceptions. They were all untimely as well, and he couldn't recover from it. Let's see what happens tonight. We're going to have to be able to run the football to be able to keep our offense balanced and also to keep Alabama's defense off balance.
One of the things I've done each and every year is kind of total up, because not only is this game, you know, it was kind of coaching styles. Mm-hmm. It was Nick Saban, Les Miles, Nick Saban, Coach O, Nick Saban, Brian Kelly. Also, too, this is a talent field. And over the last 11 years, this game is the number one yearly rivalry game to produce talent to the National Football League. In 11 years, the two teams have produced 179 draft choices. 179 in 11 years. And you know who's second? Ohio State, Michigan.
Mm, oh, okay.
154.
Wow.
Look at the difference. 179 and 154 in the same time period. And that goes to show you what you were watching on the field is kind of, you're kind of opening to the National Football League, because a lot of these guys get that opportunity. They're some of the most highly recruited players in the country.
Yep.
And we're going to get to see one tonight as a 17-year-old freshman who tilts the field in Ryan Williams at wide receiver. I've seen a lot of freshmen hit the scene. The only one, and he's different style, I remember when Julio Jones came in as a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't make quite the impact Ryan Williams did. I know Jefferson didn't.
Nope.
Jamar didn't.
Nope.
Malik Nabers didn't.
Nope.
Brian Thomas Jr. didn't. This guy, Ryan Williams, man, he's one of them that I make sure somebody else might beat me at receiver, but he ain't going to be the one. I'm going to bracket him or double coverage him on every play.
That's right. So to go back to your stats of the most NFL producing schools or game. Is that not amazing to think about what LSU and Alabama have put on the field and produced
179
over the last
guys in 11 years?
That is nuts. And it's just, you know, we as SEC fans, we as LSU fans, we get used to that. And that's one of the reasons why we think every year we're going to win a championship. It's one of the reasons why we think no one can beat us. The talent level that those guys at LSU and Alabama has put on the field is just nothing less of impressive. And so when you start talking about Mr. Williams, who's a true freshman, who's making guys miss all over the field, he can catch pretty much any ball. He can run any route. He can make anybody miss at any point in time. It's spectacular, especially him doing it as a young freshman. Now, let's say this too. Freshmen now are not freshmen what they were back then.
They're not.
These guys have been – he's been prepping for this time for the last 10 years, basically, doing 7-on-7s when he's 9 years old, you know, and just, you know, working out and going to different facilities and becoming a man, a young man that he is now over the last 10 years. So it's very impressive, and I'll say this, our defensive backfield is going to have their hands full with this young man tonight.
All I'm telling you is I'd make sure that if he caught it, that I got two guys right there to tackle him.
That's right. That's right. Yes, sir.
I've said this before on WWL, but I'll say it again. I'm old enough. I saw Lynn Swann at USC.
Okay.
Okay, I'm old enough. I saw Lynn.
You just turned 35. I get it. Okay.
Yeah, a few times. And that is who he reminds me
really?
of his ability to contort his body, mm-hmm. to go up for a catch.
Yep.
Okay, if it's a contested catch. And he's not the biggest cat in the world. He somehow finds a little lane, kind of tip it to himself, but it's his body contortion, his eye-hand coordination, his ability to make a leap in the air and make that catch. Now, a lot of people saw Lynn when he was with the Steelers, and he did a lot of that too.
Yep.
But I saw it early when he was at USC.
Yes, sir.
They didn't throw the ball a ton at SC at that time. Well, I wouldn't have. Not with that offensive line and them running backs they had.
That's right.
But when they threw it, Lynn could make that tight catch.
You know what that is that's the ability to be aware and understanding of where you are on the football field, one, and knowing how to stay on your feet. And one of the things we used to teach our kids when we were coaching Little League at King's Grand over there on the West Bank was, stay on your feet. If you can't do anything if you're on the ground. And a lot of times you'll see guys who jump and they immediately start falling into the ground.
We saw it twice against A&M.
That's right.
Trey Dez and Chris.
That's right.
This time the jump.
Yeah, mistiming jumps and don't know how to land on their feet, things like that. And that's just awareness. That's just balance, you know, practicing and training yourself in order to be able to do spectacular things like that. And then it's also just pure talent at the end of the day. So the guy's magnificent. He's going to be tough for us to stop, but I think we have an opportunity to do so.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. We're live from Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. We'll be back with more of our Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, Mike Dettelier along with the legendary Herb Tyler.
Legendary.
I get an extra dollar for doing that. We had them on Perkins Road, 3535 Perkins Road, to be exact. Come on by and visit. It's got great food and drink specials here at Acme Oyster House. We've got all the games up on the screen. So if you don't have a ticket for LSU, Alabama, and you want to have a great meal tonight, come on to Acme. Also, you can get something to drink. Or if you're en route, stop on by and do the exact same thing. And also, we want to thank Map Construction, our presenting sponsor. A few quick scores. Miami of Florida has lived on the edge all year long.
They sure have.
And with 6 minutes left, Georgia Tech has a 28-23 lead over the Hurricanes. And they're living on the edge again today.
The rambling wreck, baby.
Man, Cam Ward just got him in for a score. So with 6 minutes left, can Georgia Tech finish it 28-23 over Miami? And Texas, with the Undertaker watching over them. I know, Coleman, you like to hear that. The Undertaker's on the sidelines, dude, watching Texas the Longhorns. 49-17 over the Florida Gators. And you might want to rethink that deal about extending Billy for another year.
That's right.
Because literally Texas hit the brakes. After they had a 35-0 lead at halftime.
Yeah, it's kind of tough. You can't really judge Billy off of this game. I mean, Texas literally are probably really truly top 1, 2, 3 teams in the country.
No question.
And Florida is somewhere around a 30.
That go to show
29.
You they ain't close.
They ain't close. That's right. That's right.
they're not close.
But they're going there with a freshman quarterback who doesn't really know. Not I say freshman, but he's a new quarterback. And they lost their guy in Legway. He's not there. So it's a tough situation.
Yeah, I peeked up and I saw they were actually interviewing. And people who keep up with wrestling, they all know who the Undertaker is. They were actually interviewing him up in the booth.
Were they really?
Yeah. And then I saw he made his way back down, down to the sidelines. Navy, after two losses, have a 28-7 lead over South Florida and Boston College with a little over a minute left, 37-31 lead over Syracuse. Herb, I think in this game that's so close, and we saw the meltdown on special teams for LSU. That is a concern for me because we hadn't seen it during the season. And then you got three faux pas happen against A&M.
Well,
in a close game, you can't screw the pooch that way. Well, you can't do it.
Every now and then, something happens, right? And so it's to me, it was just we were trying way too hard. We're trying to be something we weren't. Trying to make plays in certain situations. You can't do that. You can't force things like that. And it's we know better than that. That's the thing. And so, but it's when you start talking about Nussmeier and the things that he did in that particular game. He's still a young quarterback, relatively, right, when it comes to actually playing the game. He's only been there for 10 games that he's actually played. And he was in a hostile environment. He really never played in that situation before. So I'm going to give him a lot of grace in this particular situation. Now, here's what I want to see. What does he do now since that's happened? How does he learn from that? This is...
I don't put it all on them. You ain't got a running game. You've been in that spot.
I'm not putting it all on him.
No, you've been in that spot.
What I am saying, though, is that game could have broken him, and he could be done for the season. I want to see how he bounces back from that.
Yeah, I agree.
Here's the thing. Our run game has been non-existent pretty much all season except for maybe two games. So that's not anything new that we don't know. We need to figure out how we can right that ship with the run game and make it work now. Now, here's the next thing. When you go back into seeing how many drop balls there were against Texas A&M that could have been, opportunities to move the chains, keep the drive going, put us in better field goal positioning, things like that. I mean, it was so, if anything could go wrong in that game, everything went wrong.
And then we saw three special teams disasters.
Blunders, just blunders.
Across the board. My thing with Garrett is I think he's always playing with a sense of confidence about him. You can see that when you talk to him one-on-one.
Yep.
He has got that sense to him. But, man, you're putting all the burden on him. You can't run the football. And so every – you being in that spot, don't you feel as though I have to make something happen, even if it's not there?
Yes. But sometimes to have to make something is just throwing the ball away. Sometimes to have to make something is just taking a sack. Or it's running the ball and getting as much as I can. It's not making a mistake. So there's two different things. You always have to do something. Now, what is that something is the next, you know, decision. So it's very difficult for me to say here, not playing in the game, that you know, that Nuss is the worst and all this other stuff. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, though, is I think he's one of the top quarterbacks in the country, and we don't ever see him make those kind of mistakes. It's very unlikely of him to make those mistakes. And what the coaching staff, I think, in that particular game at that moment, because remember, before all of that, before the quarterback changes, Texas A&M, the only people that were beating us was ourselves.
Exactly.
At the time. So I'm just talking that moment when Texas A&M switched quarterbacks, and then to the end of that game, we did not make any changes on offense or defense. Then we went into the half where we didn't make any halftime adjustments. We kept running the same formations, kept running the same plays. We were in the same defense the entire time. We did not make any adjustments. And you cannot do that in the SEC, especially once the other team has made all of the adjustments that they need to make. And so that's the one thing that I say that we just failed our guys at on that is on the coaching aspect side of it, is the fact that we just didn't make any adjustments. We need to do that.
And even before Reed got in there, you had some difficulty stopping the running game. That's running
right.
Backs, man, they were kind of chewing you up. Running the football. So it's important tonight to limit the big plays of Milroe as a runner and kind of teacup him a little bit in that pocket like a sugar rush. Okay?
That's right.
And you just bottle him in and say, if you're going to beat me throwing it, do it.
Do it.
But I'm not going to let you run around and beat me running the football.
And look, if you do run it, I want you to run up the middle where everybody's at, and
right.
Be stuffing you. And I'm fine with that. And you're right; we got to keep them in that little, what I like to call the State Farm hands, where you keep them like that. So, it for me, it's going to be tough, but it's doable. Well, I think we have a really, really good defensive line, and we got a really great linebacker in Weeks. And Greg Penn, those guys, I think we can do it. Now, it's going to be interesting to see when Alabama makes adjustments, are we going to make adjustments? Based upon the last game that I saw, we're going to have to in order for us to be successful, because they're going to make plays, and we can't allow that to deflate us. We just got to continue to work hard, play fast, play as a unit, and stop as much as we can Alabama's run game, because – I would much rather try to have Jalen Milroe beat me in a passing game than with his legs or with Alabama's run game.
Amen to that. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelier along with Herb Tyler right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. I'd like to take you along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge on Perkins Road. Come on by and visit us. I also want to thank again our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. We're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line and bring in, he's the host of the game on 100.9 in Tuscaloosa, Ryan Fowler. And if you listen on Tuesday, you hear him and I together. We got a segment each Tuesday. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Honor to be on with you, and it's just an honor to be on with WWL. This is a station that I grew up listening to, and I would take some aluminum foil and stick it around the antenna. And a little bitty country, not a lot of television stations, so it's an honor to be on, not with just you, but on this station, historic station across the great country.
Well, Ryan, looks as though Georgia Tech is going to upset Miami. Man, they lived on the edge, Ryan, all year long, and they lived on it again. They got the ball back, but on a sack and a fumble, Cam Ward coughed up the ball, and it's 28-23 with a minute 29 left. It is a third down play, but I think Miami may be out of timeout. So it looks as though the Hurricanes will go down today to Georgia Tech. And remember how the season started.
That's right.
Georgia Tech played Florida State. And, boy, did they uncover what we've seen all year long.
The rambling wreck, baby.
That's it. Herb would like to play in that offense as quarterback. I think he could handle that deal. Ryan, tell us a little bit about the season and the fan reaction that you've got already two losses this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you the story Pete Jenkins told me about Nick Saban's the best fourth quarter coach I've ever seen. And how will people react when they're going to have a couple losses and lose those games late? How has been the fan reaction on 100.9? Two of them already having two losses.
I think there's a lot of things. I've tried to coach them up. I mean, you just talked about Miami and Georgia Tech. And, I mean, you think about, the ramifications of that game, not just for the game, but the Heisman Trophy. You know, it could impact that. But we have chaos in college football, okay? And even LSU fans, all these fans have got to recalibrate their eyes, okay? They think, and Alabama fans have this thing that, you know, we're going to win the national title every single year. And I told them, I said, guys, y'all going to have to back off that because that's not the college football. It has nothing to do. Yes, Kalen DeBoer, there's been an adjustment, a growing period as there are with all coaches. But if Nick Saban would have been coaching, sure, that'd beat Vanderbilt. But I think adjusting to this is the new college football. It's chaos. It is, Mike, you and I have talked about it so many different times on Tuesday. We're now closer to the NFL than we've ever been in the world of college football. You're going to see this. And I don't know what we're going to be in store for this last 3 weeks, but buckle up. But the fans have not been happy. I mean, I can try to coach them up, but it's kind of like telling a kid not to play with his food. It's just not going to happen. I mean, I try to convince them. They're not taking it. I mean, you know, they'll come out. Alabama will struggle against Vanderbilt, and a week later they'll pick 63-3 to beat Tennessee. I mean, it's just like trying to temper their expectations. But to be fair to Alabama fans, I mean, they've won a lot of championships. So they're accustomed to winning. I just don't think that a lot of people, some, but a lot of people don't grasp what college football is now. It's just not going to have those dominant teams. Alabama, Georgia, LSU, whoever it is, it's just not going to be the real world in the current college football.
We'll update you. Georgia Tech has upset Miami of Florida 28-23. So, man, Cam Ward didn't play well today either. He got smothered with a lot of pressure, and he was inaccurate. Herb, got a question for Ryan?
Ryan, I wanted to ask you, man. So I'm looking at Alabama's schedule, Western Kentucky, USF, Wisconsin. They beat Georgia. They beat South Carolina. So those are two quality wins right there. They beat Mizzou. When I go back and I look at the schedule, a lot of things that people would say back in the past was that their schedule, you know, Alabama hadn't, they're not really playing anybody in the beginning. Do you think those, I guess the first couple of games kind of gave us a false hope of what this team could potentially be? Or do you think this team is that team that beat Georgia in week four?
Against even some of the opponents that you're talking about, Wisconsin, they had a great game, but South Florida, I mean, they were in a fight in that game. I mean, they were doing things to put pressure on that offensive line. But to be fair, there was also Caden Proctor was, you know, missed some time early on. The Georgia game at this point, the first half seems to be an outlier. It's just not who they are. We haven't seen that type of explosive offense, and I'll be curious. Coming off the bye week, keep in mind, Kalen DeBoer is 7-0 in his coaching career coming off of a bye week. That bye week is where they put a lot of the game and scripted a lot of the offense. I'll be curious to see, for one, I'm sure you guys have talked about it, how the weather impacts this. I mean, it looks like 100% chance of that, you know, rain in Baton Rouge. That could throw everything that you plan. You know, I'm sure there's two different scripts, but you know, the weather being expected to be a nasty, wet turf. I mean, this thing could really come down. But I think the first half against Georgia was an outlier. Now, credit to them, Georgia came back. Alabama was able to retake the lead off that Ryan Williams touchdown pass, 75 yards. But I think Alabama fans want to see that back. But it's just not been – it's been at times, like they played great against Missouri a couple of weeks ago. They ran the football hard, which we had not seen them run the football. I mean, they were really not a team, you know, that really, other than Jalen Milroe, was a threat to keep, you know, positive traction on the ground. But it seems like that this team has found a little bit of rhythm, but nothing like that Georgia game. I mean, that Georgia game, like I said, is an outlier.
Ryan, in watching Nick Saban's team throughout the years, I don't ever remember the secondary play this bad. Now, I get it. Graduation took away a first-round pick. The Saints have a second-round pick in Kool-Aid McKinstry. You guys lost a freshman All-American to Ohio State in the transfer portal. Got little to no depth. And Trey Amos, who's there, now he's at Ole Miss. Man, you've had a lot of losses there. For LSU, you've got to go after that secondary. As much as you want to run the ball, okay, you can run it a little bit, but I'm going to test those corners and safeties because, Ryan, to be honest, they haven't played good at all this season.
And I think you mentioned it, the youth there. The youth is simply, it's crazy. It's not just that you're asking a freshman to play corner. You're asking him to float in different positions based on the formation. You know, Mika Fitzpatrick, I'll never forget, as a true freshman, had a lot of growing pains in 2015. Alabama's championship year. I remember Hunter Renfrow tearing him up in Glendale, Arizona. And I think about how difficult Coach Saban said to play one position as a true freshman. A lot of these guys are having to play multiple positions because of the injuries, right? You got Keon Sapp that's down, but they've fought injuries, whether it's Jalen Mbakwe, whether it's Red Morgan. Injuries have been, they were thin going into the season, but they were injured. Now, let's see what the bye week does. You know, the injury report still had Keon Sapp out. So that's a guy. But also keep in mind, you know, you've got Bray Hubbard, which is from right there in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. He was a two-time Mr. Football player. He played great against the Missouri Tigers. But to be fair, once Brady Cook went down, they really had no passing game. So it's really just not a fair judge. But the secondary has been the weakness. Coach Saban said it. at SEC Media Days. He said if there is a some weakness on this team, it's that secondary. And it's just simply because you're not just starting one true freshman back there. In formations, there may be three true freshmen. Now, at this point in the season, you would hope that these freshmen have now become sophomores with their playing experience. But just kind of keep an eye on that. Bray Hubbard's a really solid player that's filling in for Keon Fab. Played good against Missouri, but like I said, really not a threat to throw the pass. Today will be the biggest challenge. Now, because LSU can't run the football with a lot of consistency, I mean, right now when you look at LSU, I think I looked it up, you and I were talking about this on Tuesday, they're the only team in the SEC that does not have 1,000 yards rushing. But the flip side of that is Alabama can't stop the run. So, I mean, they're 14th in the country, in, 14th in the SEC in stopping the run. So what we think might happen could happen the other way because Alabama's just not very good at stopping the run consistently. They've done it at times, but really, when you look at stats, they don't lie to you.
Yeah, and then at the same time, too, Alabama's coming in and walking in the Death Valley night game with all the new lights, the atmosphere, the energy, all of that. And I'm going to tell you, I was telling Mike this earlier, I think LSU has to try to establish the run game. That's the only way I think that we'll be successful tonight, along with, of course, a really great passing game. So, but with that being said, do you see Alabama stopping LSU's run game when it comes to, you know, Caden Durham and his ability to run the football in the way that he has shown in past games? And behind that, can Alabama's defensive backs really keep up with, you know, the three or four guys at receiver that we have? Because we got some talent at receiver. And I say we, but LSU.
I mean, look at Mason Taylor. Alabama's not faced a tight end like him either. I mean, that's another weapon because as you go through the season, there's not a tight end that's in his league that Alabama has went up against that I remember seeing that just grabbed me. So it's not just the wide receivers. It's that big tight end that got Alabama beat 2 years ago. And I think Alabama fans remember that. But they don't have – you know, I'll be curious how they defend that. But if you look at the weather, that could be an advantage for Alabama because LSU's such a throwing team, you know, how, because it looks like it's going to be pretty heavy wind too. So something to keep an eye on. They always say that a wide receiver knows where he's going, a defensive back doesn't. So maybe that has something to do with attraction because it looks like it's going to be a wet turf. So is this an old style, you know, run it down your throat? Alabama, this is so odd. I mean, this is what I'm about to say is just going to blow your mind. Last year, this same offensive line, virtually the same, was a much better run blocking team. This year, they're a better pass protection team. Can't run the football. I mean, they're literally. I mean, if like I said, I mean, they're better pass protection than they are running the, you know, run blocking. And it's the same, almost the same offensive line. You got to upgrade at center. But it's literally almost the same, and they can't run the football with consistency other than the Missouri game. And maybe that gives confidence to Nick Sheridan that they can actually run it.
Because of the philosophy of DeBoer versus what Saban was?
That's a yes.
Yes. But, I mean, I think, and that goes back to that Missouri game, is how does that implement not just the confidence in the offensive line and the backs, but how about that Nick Sheridan? Because, you know, we've already talked about the weakness on the secondary and the defense going up against this, you know, great offense. When you look at it, maybe they do try to take away a few possessions by running the football. Maybe that was a not just a sign for the players, but also to that coaching staff. Hey, guys, we can be dedicated to running the football. And that's the thing. And coming out, how many wrinkles can they add to this offense? Because Kalen DeBoer is very brilliant on the offensive mind. You know, we've seen Jalen Milroe kind of regress just a little bit. I mean, there was a lot of talk early on. Could he be a Heisman favorite? Could he be a front runner for the NFL draft next year? And a lot of that has faded away just with the inconsistent play. We'll see if he can get back on track. But Tiger Stadium, that crowd noise, remember now, go back to Tennessee. He struggled on the road in Knoxville. And I have voiced this to a couple of coaches on that staff. You hadn't seen anything until you go to Tiger Stadium. It is the best atmosphere right. in college football. And if Tennessee rattled him, Deco had to find a way to get him some confidence earlier. He's going to get rattled at Tiger Stadium.
Ryan, one last question for me. You got 6-2 Alabama, 6-2 LSU. Who's the better team?
Vegas. I mean, Mike and I talk about this every Tuesday. They don't build those buildings losing money. I mean, you got one right there beside you guys. I mean, they don't build those losing money. If you look at Alabama as the favorite and the way that this has driven up, it's a little bit confusing because I thought it would be more of a pick 'em. But as the week has progressed, I mean, I see it at sports books out there about 3, 2.5. So if you take away the Tiger Stadium, which you can't, but home field advantage is worth, you know, between 3, 3, 3.5, 4 points, you add that on a neutral field, it says Alabama's the better team. Now, you can see that, but listen, this Alabama team has been so inconsistent. I don't know which team's going to show up. Is it the team that showed up against Georgia coming off the bye week, or is it the team that, you know, that struggled against Vanderbilt that looked like a, you know, a sick puppy? Who knows? I'll say this. I wouldn't put any coin on it. I'm not going to because I don't know which Alabama team's going to show up.
Ryan, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always a pleasure to have you on, bud. And take care. And, you know, we always pull for you, but today I got to go the other way. I'm sorry about that. I know who signs the checks, Ryan.
no problem. I don't expect you to do that, but you guys have an awesome day. And save me some good food because I know you guys are eating. Where you are at is good food is located.
No, no question about it. Acme is great. Thanks so much, Ryan. Appreciate it, buddy. That was Ryan Fowler, host of the game 100.9 in Tuscaloosa. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number one of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break. We're finishing it up in our number one of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Detailer, Herb Tyler will be back right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Detailer along with the legendary Herb Tyler here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road. And with that second legendary deal, I get $2 now.
$2.
That's it. Presented by Map Construction. I want to thank all our sponsors, Thibodaux Regional Medical Systems and Go Tax Resolution, along with Map Construction. We couldn't do it without them. And that's also, right. too, with Acme, if you're looking to have food catered for an event, if it's even at holiday time, you don't want to do no cooking and you want to eat seafood, give Jason a call here at Acme Oyster House, and they can take care of that. After Georgia Ole Miss is 7-7, Jackson Dart went down in the first drive on a sack. He threw up a lollipop interception that turned into a touchdown on a fourth down running play by Georgia. And Ole Miss came right back and got a score. Ulysses Bentley made it in for the touchdown. So it is 7-7 early, but, man, it is raining.
It's raining out there.
We can see it from here. The ball is bouncing all over the ground, so to speak, and they pinned Georgia back to the 14-yard line on that particular kick. And so we're starting to see what maybe some after effects, and it could be a situation what affects LSU Alabama tonight.
That's right.
If you get that type of weather.
You get that type of weather, you know, you're going to have to pull out the longer cleats, right? And you're going to have to try to find a way to create a run game. You're going to have to. I mean, it's going to be tough to throw the football, but, you know, with the new style footballs they have and all the new technology and things like that with the gloves and all of this other stuff, you can still throw the ball. The biggest part is going to be the footing. And I'm going to tell you right now, one of the best places to play, no matter whether it's, you know, 100 degrees and sunny or it's, you know, 75 and it's pouring down raining, is Tiger Stadium, because they keep that field pristine. And it's going to be a good footing for the guys to play on. I'm going to just say this. At the end of the day, the weather, I think, may have a little bit of impact on the game. But I really think these two teams are going to come out focused, and they're going to be way super in tune to what's the task at hand. This game has a lot of implications on the future of this season for both of these teams, and it is unimaginable of what happens if one of these teams loses, right? So, yeah, you get to go to a bowl game, but you're completely out of the playoff race. You're nowhere near the SEC championship situation, right? Which you're probably out right now anyway, but you never know. You might be able to backdoor that, but it's going to be tough. And I think these two teams are going to come out really focused and determined to win this game tonight.
No Garrett Dellinger tonight.
Nope.
So now you're playing the freshman, Paul Mbungo.
That's going to be tough.
Who's 6'5", 310. Now, they list him at 310. My thing is, man, I didn't see Paul. Man, I want to get on that scale. If he actually tipped it and it's an actual reading of 310, because, man, he looked more to me like 330
That's
pounds
right.
than 310 pounds. But freshman coming in and in this type atmosphere, as a quarterback, how would you handle that with Paul?
Well, when I came in and I was a freshman and I remember playing in an atmosphere similar to this, the older guys, the seniors and the juniors, the people that's been playing, they have to rally around him. And all they need to do is tell him to do his job. Literally, don't do anything else. Don't worry about what I'm doing. Don't worry about what the guy next to you're doing. Do your job. Whatever your job is calling for on that particular play, go 100%. Think about nothing and just do that. And, you know, one of the most difficult things is that you get way too anxious about what's actually happening at the moment. Right, so the game is this. You know, it's a 6:30 Alabama game in Tiger Stadium. Game day's here. You know, you got this, all of this other stuff going on. But guess what it is? It's just a football game. It's the same thing as it was, you know, 2 weeks ago or whenever you played as a starter or whatever. The difference is that there's a lot more attention that's being garnered to it. It's not really anything different. So I would just tell him to, you know, just keep his nerves in check. And stay calm and believe in himself. Don't get too down and don't get too high. Just play your game, and we're here for you as teammates.
If it's Mbungo or if it's Caden Durham, we've seen a lot of fresh Tre'Davious Green.
Yep.
We've seen that Brian Kelly is open. If you're good enough,
You can
play as a true freshman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for other seniors in high school looking at that, that's a big thing for LSU.
That's a huge draw.
Because, I've had coaches say, oh, I'll play you. But then they don't play freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
One thing Brian Kelly has done, maybe it's because of necessity, and also, too, trying to build up some depth and trying to find something, he has shown, man, listen, you good enough? You can play as a freshman.
Why would you not, though? That's my thing.
But listen, you know, coaches, they lie.
It's pride, right?
Exactly.
You know, it's my way or the highway, right? But at the end of the day, you will be hitting the highway if you ain't playing the right guys today. So, you know, in my mind, but I come from that, too. I come from a guy that played as a true freshman, so I understand what it takes to do it. But I also know that there was Booger McFarland, there was Kevin Falk, and there was Todd McClure also starting as true freshmen on that team that I started on. And so I know that you can have guys that come in and can make an immediate impact for the better for your team if you allow them to. And also if you get over the stigma of you just not wanting to play freshman players. Because sometimes that's just what it is. In my mind as a coach, I just don't want to play a guy that's a freshman because he's just not ready. But you don't know that. You don't know the mental IQ of this guy until you get him on, you know, on your team and in school. You don't know the aptitude of what he knows about being in pressure type situations until you allow him the opportunity to show you that he does. And a lot of times when those guys are ready as freshmen, that takes a lot of stress and responsibility off of the older guys that are playing right now. Because now they don't have to worry about, because you remember, these older guys have been playing with other guys who the freshman has taken their place of. So they're like, man, this guy's been a liability or whatever. You know, you just never know. And so it takes a lot of pressure off of them, and they get to play even better as well.
Isn't that more about mental toughness than anything else? Not about talent, but more about mentally being tough.
not to be overwhelmed at that moment.
Yeah, that's a. It's all about the mind games, right? That's why I was saying you have to just block all of the attention out and everything else out. You just got to know it's just football. It's all it is, you know. I understand that, you know, there's 1,000 cameras everywhere and there's 100,000 people in the stands. The lights are blinking off and on and it's on ESPN and you got Lee Corso and all these other guys that are there from game, you know, game day and all this other stuff. All that's great and all that's fine and dandy, but guess what? They got 6 or 7 guys out there with striped shirts on with whistles, and then across from you is going to be 11 guys that plays all the same positions that you've been playing against at practice the entire time. The difference is just it's an actual game. So now how do you mentally prepare yourself for something like this? And the way I used to do it was I used to listen to music that would take me to a place that would bring me lower, not okay. higher. But okay. other guys wanted to get up high, and they would, you know, they wanted to, you know, listen to upbeat music that would get them charged up. But whatever floats your boat is what it does, but you just take yourself away from the game being more than what it really is, which is just a game.
And they're bringing in the list of guys visiting tonight is unbelievable.
Oh, here we go.
And great, this is what you want to create.
That's
this
right.
type atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And certainly Bryce Underwood, who's has gotten so much ink out of all this, number one rated player in the country
yep.
from Michigan.
Yep.
I never thought I'd live long enough to say this, but LSU has become kind of quarterback you a little bit. No, listen, I never thought.
After Les Miles, I mean, you know.
Because with Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels, Garrett Nussmeier, and so I have watched Michigan play. They lousy at quarterback.
So let me say this. So what you said was key. You never thought you'd get a chance to say that. The crazy part is that LSU's had some really great quarterbacks throughout the history of LSU. The problem has been, at least in the 2000s, if you will, 2010.
His style.
It's not so much his style, but they never developed the guys.
Yeah, I got you.
The style of football, you can run the football and that can be your style, but you still have to develop the quarterback to be a better quarterback than they were yesterday. And that was the thing that was missing the entire time that Les was there. Is they just never developed. Because each one of those guys had opportunities to play in the NFL. If you go back and you start looking at what they did after LSU, they all had opportunities to play and even start in places. So
yeah, you look at Zach Mettenberg,
yep.
Danny Etling,
that's right.
They got opportunities at the next level.
Exactly. So it's not like these guys didn't have the talent level or even the opportunities to. They didn't develop them while they were LSU.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettay along with Herb Tyler at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge. We'll be back with more Tiger Tailgating right after this break. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettay along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us if you get a chance. And if you don't have tickets to the game, come on by, get something to eat and drink, and you can watch the game, LSU, Alabama, and we'll have it right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app starting at 6:30. Now we'll go to our Inside the Tiger Den segment brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team. Go Tax Go. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line from the Louisiana Radio Network, Jeff Palermo. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Mike, Herb, how you guys doing today?
We're doing good.
Good,
what's the weather report for tonight?
That's right.
And don't tell us rain, please.
Looks like we're going to get some rain, guys.
We watching Georgia Ole Miss is right in front of us. Man, it has come down really hard in that game a couple of different times. And so, Jeff, your thoughts, if we get that type of rain here, how will, just looking at Alabama offensively, LSU offensively, how will that affect both teams?
Well, I think any time it rains, right, to me, the advantage goes to the offense because they know where they're going. So, you know, for LSU's defense in particular, and you know, you got them, we've talked about it all week, really, going up against a mobile quarterback in Jalen Milroe. And if that guy is able to get out of the pocket and start making some moves downfield, it'll be up to LSU's linebackers and defensive backs to try to bring him down. You know, Ryan Williams, an outstanding wide receiver for them. It's going to be a challenge for LSU's cornerbacks. I just think always in these type of, as long as, you know, the wind doesn't pick up and there's really just not a ton of wind here tonight, or at least right now anyways, as long as the wind doesn't pick up, I just always think in conditions like this, it does favor the offense. As long as I think where obviously it goes back in the defense's favor is you got the wet ball situation, harder to hang on to the football. Maybe you get more fumbles, bad snaps. That's something that you always have to watch for. Considering LSU has not been very sharp with the field goals, I think probably the last thing you want is wet conditions out there and the long snap and holding and all that kind of stuff. So I just think it adds another little dynamic, another little wrinkle to this game here tonight, and with so much on the line.
Jeff, you brought it up, so I'll continue with it because I wanted to talk to you about it. It looked as though they had the special teams football sort of fixed, and then all of a sudden Texas A&M, and it's like, oh, my God, can anything else go wrong?
That's right.
But to me, it wasn't all about the kicker. It was all about the process of the snap, the hold, and the kick. And you could read the lips of Brian Kelly talking to his deep snapper. You control this.
That's right.
You control it. And, man, he didn't control nothing. And then a snap hits one of them in the head. He don't even try to go for the ball, which is unbelievable, too. Your thoughts on that? Because we had talked about this a couple of weeks back. It looked as though – you know, what Ramos had done, that was the strength of the team.
Yep.
And then, it peels apart against the Aggies.
Yeah, I was talking about going into that Texas A&M game about how Damian Ramos was the most unheralded or underappreciated guy on the team. And then all of a sudden he misses a couple of field goals, and then you had the bad snap as well. And you go back to the South Carolina game, they also had a bad snap. Now, you know, Brian Kelly, he's kind of talked out of both sides of his mouth, right? I mean, on this, he's talked about how, hey, it hasn't been that big of an issue. Slade Roy has been an outstanding long snapper for him. There hasn't been that many bad snaps, so I'm not going to get too hard on him. But there was also a lot of talk here, at least since that game against Texas A&M, about, you know, working on the process, as you just mentioned, you know, the snap, the hold, and obviously Ramos's approach to the football. So it's been something that they've been trying to iron out. You would hope back inside Tiger Stadium, a home game, maybe the crowd won't be as loud, especially on the snaps when you're kicking the field goal. Crowd quiets down a little bit. Maybe there's a little bit more sense of a communication, or at least everyone on the same page. But it was just really troubling. For them to struggle like they did, and, you know, in particular when they were trying to at least extend that lead against Texas A&M, missing a couple of field goals, it just allowed Texas A&M to have this belief that they can come back and win that game, and we all saw what happened in the second half.
With that being said, that, you know, that second half, or the final quarter in the half of that Texas A&M game, do you think you'll see that same LSU team, or do you think LSU's 2 weeks of preparation for this Alabama game is really going to change the whole mindset and then allow those guys and players and coaching staff and everybody to put that last end of the Texas A&M game behind them?
Well, that's a good question. I think that's the big question going into this game for both teams, because with their 6-2 records on the season, I think both of them have just been very inconsistent. Alabama has looked really strong in games this year. You look at the Wisconsin game, going up to Madison and blowing out the Badgers like they did, and getting that big lead against Georgia, and they looked good last week in a 34-0 win over Missouri, but then they, you know, really kind of a sloppy game against Tennessee, Vanderbilt allowing them to kind of really control the pace of that football game. And then the same for LSU, inconsistent play throughout the entire USC game, kind of poor first half against UCLA, Ole Miss. They didn't really turn it on there till the end. You play a complete game against Arkansas, and then in the second half against the Aggies, you just fall apart like you did. You know, I do feel like some of what happened for LSU in the second half of the last game that they played is just one of those things that occurs to teams when they're on the road in difficult environments like that. And when one bad thing happens, and then all of a sudden the home team, which has been just kind of scuffling along and not really playing very well, all of a sudden they get a spark. It's just too hard then to flip the momentum back, right? I mean, A&M grabbed the momentum in that football game, and LSU, even though they did score a touchdown during that great run that the Aggies had in the second half, the momentum was just so much on Texas A&M's side, and they played so much more confidently than LSU, and Garrett Nussmeier starts making mistakes, and it just kind of snowballs against them. And you know what? That happens for pretty much every team that ever exists in football, right? You just have one of those situations, and we sit here and we break down, who's got the best running game, or who's got the best defense, or who's got the best defensive line. You know, one of the things you just never put into factor is momentum. And when one team really grabs momentum, it's very difficult to try to turn it back. And LSU found that out the hard way against in College Station against the Aggies 2 weeks ago.
Jeff, one of the things tonight, it's a big showcase game, not only for the current players on the LSU team. And, you know, if you lose tonight, you're not being in that final 12. But, man, the list of recruits that are coming in tonight, and one from Michigan certainly with Bryce Underwood being the headliner of it. But, man, this is the type of atmosphere you can sell a recruit on. Hey,
yes, you
get to play in Tiger Stadium. You get to see this atmosphere a Saturday night in Tiger Stadium going up against a top opponent like Alabama. So, man, I just feel as though – you got a lot riding here because the young men get caught up in a moment, too.
Yep.
I do think, if you're 16, 17, 18 years old, you can get caught up in that moment.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And it's great, with all of this smoke around whether Bryce Underwood really will truly stay an LSU commitment and sign with LSU in December, for him to make his visit here and then have all these other five-star prospects, the DJ Pickett and the Harlan Berry and Jakeem Stewart, and having all these other guys that are here on campus, I think it's a big deal for LSU, and they're gonna feel the environment. When Alabama hosted Georgia back in September, they had a ton of 4 or 5 star prospects on their campus, and you have these type of games, and this is where you can really showcase it. But if LSU doesn't come out on top here tonight, I don't think any of those kids that are here sit there and say, LSU lost to Alabama, maybe I should start looking at Alabama, because these kids in high school, they lose too, right? They understand that you can't win actually every single game, but the environment should be incredible tonight. Hopefully the rain doesn't dampen it too much, but. Yeah, this is a time for LSU to really put its best foot forward and seal the deal with some of these guys because National Signing Day is right around the corner. Remember, it's right after the conference championship game this year. So there's not much time left here when it comes to the 2025 recruiting cycle. I know you still have the February signing date, but as we know, most of the guys sign in December now, not February.
Yeah, you brought up Moore, the wide receiver who's verbally committed to Oregon. Man, I thought that check had cleared from Phil Knight by now. Man, I know Phil got a few dollars to his name.
That's right.
He's selling a few Nike stuff here and there. But it's so interesting. Here's a young man who had been committed since the summer, and now he's going to make this trip late, to see LSU.
It's different.
It's a different world we live it in.
Oh, it certainly is, especially with the NIL and all that. And, guys, there's some guys that, they shut it down. I make my decision, and that's where you go. It's a little bit easier with, like, Louisiana kids to do that. For instance, I had a chance to see Alexandria senior high running back JT Lindsey last night, and that kid is phenomenal, very fast, got a kind of a Caden Durham vibe about him. And he kind of glides out there on the field. But he's a kid from Alexandria, and he was just kind of waiting for LSU to finally offer him. You know, and he's sitting in Frank Wilson's office in last April during before the spring game, and LSU offers him, and he says yes, and that's it. Sayonara. That's where he's going. And then so it's hard to obviously, you know, if some other school wanted to come in on JT and start really recruiting him, it's pretty difficult because his heart's set on going to LSU. So always a little easier when it comes to those Louisiana guys. You know, same with Harlan Berry. I mean, he committed a long time ago, and nobody else really seems to he hasn't swayed. But, you know, the Bryce Underwood situation, especially when you're hearing all this, the money that's being floated out there, and the quarterback that Michigan had committed to its class has decommitted. So Michigan's looking for a quarterback for its 2025 class. That's where you get a little nervous, and you can't wait till you get to signing day and get him to sign, and then know that it's a done deal, and he's coming to LSU and nowhere else.
Your thoughts on the development of Aaron Anderson? Because, you know, Herb and I have talked about
that's
it.
That's my guy.
And Herb kind of called it early that he felt this would be Aaron's opportunity to make some big plays and show up big, and he certainly has. And without Chris Hilton, I mean, mm-hmm. they really needed Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
If it's in the slot or out wide. And then, you know, you got Trey Daz outside also. But your thoughts on the development of Aaron Anderson? He was a guy highly recruited. I remember I went to a camp, and he told me, I'm committed to LSU as long as Coach O's there. If he's not there, then I'm going to Alabama. And sure enough, he went there, spent a year there, and then came back. Your thoughts on you see the growth in Aaron Anderson, much more confidence than a year ago.
Well, I mean, I think it goes back to that USC game where he had a really nice game in that first game, and just the confidence grew from that. And I think that's what he was waiting for. It took a while for him. I mean, last year it was just hard for him to get consistent passes or really even have consistent playing time a season ago when you got Malik Nabers and you got Brian Thomas out there and you got Kyron Lacy out there. I mean, those guys are going to end up getting most of the passes thrown in their direction, and you throw Mason Taylor in there. So you got four guys, and Chris Hilton was part of it. I really do think the injury to Chris Hilton in the preseason opened the door up for Aaron Anderson, because if Hilton doesn't get hurt, your three guys are going to be Lacy, Hilton, and C.J. Daniels. And so then again, it's going to be Aaron Anderson trying to figure out what his role is and make when he has an opportunity, make a play, and he might not get a lot of opportunities. But Hilton's injury opens the door for Aaron Anderson, and this is a kid that took advantage of it. I mean, he was a top prospect in the state of Louisiana coming out of Carr High School. It was a blow to see him go to Alabama, and then when he comes to LSU, you got Nick Saban telling him, hey, if you would have stayed at Alabama, you'd be playing and not sitting on the sidelines like he sat for most of the game or for most of the season last year. So, I mean, credit to Aaron Anderson. I mean, he just kind of stuck with it. It had to be pretty frustrating. You go to one school, decide to come back, and then when you come back to that school or you come to LSU and you don't really get the playing time, and you probably – your mind is kind of wandering a little bit, and you're thinking about, well, maybe do I got to go out and move again here as far as going through the transfer portal? But he ends up sticking with it. Hard work, he gets rewarded, makes a few big plays in the USC game, and it just kind of took off from there. And let's see if he can have a big game here tonight.
I was talking to Ryan Fowler. We have a weekly show I do with him in Tuscaloosa, and one of the things he brought up to me, we talked about the kicking game with Ramos, and he was like, man, you know, we kind of got spoiled with Weichert here. I mean, he was an unbelievable kicker. He said, Mike, the kicker we got now, he's never been put in a spot where he got to kick a game-winning kick. He said, now, all punting is unbelievable. He said, the punter we got now, he's a stud. But he said, I don't know, because he's never been put in that position before. He said, you would figure he may get put in that spot, and it's in Tiger Stadium.
Well, when I was – yeah, I mean, it was crazy, because when I was looking at the statistics, I mean, we've played eight games, and Graham Nicholson, the field goal kicker for Alabama – has only kicked six field goals. I mean, there's times he's just standing around there and only just kicking PATs. I mean, only six field goals all season. as long as 47, but he was the Lou Groza Award winner a season ago at Miami of Ohio. He beat out Reichert for that award. So he had a massive season at Miami of Ohio a season ago, but this year he just really hasn't had much of an opportunity. So he may get some chances here tonight, because you go back to the Ole Miss game. I think one of the keys for the Tigers in that game was when Alabama got into the red zone, LSU was able to shut them down, not allow them to get into the end zone. And so I think LSU has been pretty good at that this season, of really playing a bit of the bend but don't break type of style of defense. And they may be calling on Graham Nicholson a lot more here, but the kid is obviously talented. He was very good at Miami of Ohio, but obviously a little bit different when you're kicking in front of 102,000 instead of 12,000 like you do at MAC games.
Yeah, Ryan told me I didn't watch him when he was in the MAC. So he only got six kicks. And he said he doesn't kick off. He says that's the other part.
Yeah.
So he said we got to designate a guy to kick off. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, always appreciate your time and your insights, buddy.
All right, guys. You have a good one. Thanks a lot.
All right. That was Jeff Palermo from the Louisiana Radio Network. That will close out our Inside the Tiger Den segment, brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team. Go Tax Go. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger tailgating show right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger tailgating show, Mike DeTillo along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road. Come on by and visit us. Got a lot of great food and drink specials. And also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. He's been a friend of the show, Wilson Alexander. And so his wife had some surgery. And so if you get a chance tonight, maybe say a little prayer for Wilson. Going through some difficult times, and him and his wife. And so he's always been super to us. Great guy. Covers the LSU Tigers. Won't be able to cover them tonight against Alabama. But, Wilson, you're in our thoughts and prayers, my man.
That's right.
And I appreciate everything you've done for WWL and for me also. Herb, one of the things, when you have a big-time receiver like Ryan Williams, you can do a couple different things. You can lock him up against Zay Alexander. I don't know if Zay want to go one-on-one with him all night long.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can double-team him, bracket cover him. That's also another thing. It opens up things for other players to make a play, but you're so concerned that it's Williams that you put a lot of emphasis, and I guarantee you Blake Baker has done that all week long on making sure that Ryan Williams is not going to be the guy to beat me. It's going to be somebody else.
Sometimes you can overemphasize it.
Okay.
So in my mind, what you should be doing is, yes, you recognize that Ryan Williams is a guy. Period. Okay, so what do? In certain instances, you got to go back and you got to look at video and film and find out exactly, you know, what makes him special and what down and distances do how they use him. And then you have to create your defense based upon that, right? Not so much the person, but the all the different circumstances that occur throughout a football game when this person is successful. And so I'm saying that to say there's going to be times where Zay is going to lock him down. But there's also going to be times where they're going to bracket him. There's also going to be times where they're going to do some high-low stuff against him. But it's all going to be dictated on what Alabama does offensively on first and 10, second and 6, third and 10, third and 14, second and 2. You know, it just depends. Because what you can't do is you can't overemphasize Ryan and then allow everybody else to beat you. Because you can't, in my mind, you can't do that.
I got it.
So you have to be able to cover the whole field.
Because in watching Nussmeier, when C.J. Daniels was healthy, when he caught the snap from the deep snap, he turned his way.
Right.
Always turn and look to see if C.J. had a shot.
Mm-hmm.
If not, then he'd go to the second read. It's maybe Kyron or maybe Aaron Anderson or over the top to Taylor. I'll watch Milrow this week. Every snap, when he takes it, his first peek, Ryan Williams. He does the same thing
to Williams that I see that Nuss does to C.J. Daniels, and hopefully he's healthy tonight, because I do think this offense percolates better
with Daniels
when C.J. Daniels, and he does all the dirty work.
I agree. Yeah, he's that possession receiver. He's not the guy that everybody's hearing his name being called, but he's the guy where his name gets called. It's a first down.
Right.
You know, it's in the crucial part of the game and the time of the point of the game or drive where it matters the most, and that's really good. You need those guys. Now, you know, when a quarterback peeks at a guy instantly once he receives the ball, you know what that means? That means he trusts
his guy. Correct.
He trusts that guy. That's period. So when you see that, then that means that, hey, you have an opportunity. If you can take that away, at least you got his first threat away from him. Now you got to play everything else, though. You know, you got to play the RPO. You got to play, you know, the other receivers, the tight ends, the running backs. So you still have to be able to cover the entire field. And so in instances where you got this guy in Ryan Williams, he's going to get his plays. How many of those you allow is going to be dictated to him, really, because we're going to defend it in the way we need to. He's going to make some special plays. So the other key to that is whenever, you know, you have a guy like that, the defense can't really overemphasize trying to stop him, like meaning the players, not so much the coaches. Because then what happens is the coach or the players, if they start overemphasizing, oh, we got to know where Ryan is at all times, got to know where he is at all times, guess what you do? You forget about the other guy.
Correct.
You forget about the slot receiver. You forget about the tight end. You forget about the running back and the quarterback because you're so focused on it. So that's what I mean by, you know, you can't overemphasize that guy, especially as a coaching staff, because then now you're going to make that's going to trickle down to your players, and they're going to be worried, and then they're going to be out of position. They're not going to be able to make plays.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here in our number two of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. We got a half an hour left here on our Tiger Tailgating Show. So we'll throw it, get some news, and then we'll come right back to finish it up right here on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with the legendary Herb Tyler here. $3 now. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. If you don't have tickets to the game, man, you can have supper here and you can watch all the games on television. It's right now. Ole Miss, 16-7 over Georgia. And their defense has dominated this football game. Man, Carson Beck, he better go back to Manning Passing Academy because, man, he getting torched today.
Yes, he is.
So want to tell everybody at 4:30, we'll throw it to the LSU Radio Network. Big Fave will take over along with the crew he has. And at 6:30 right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey at LSU, Alabama. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, she covers the SEC and LSU. Tracy Coley, thanks you for joining us this afternoon. Tracy, appreciate it.
Yes.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me back.
Tracy, I had a sort of commentary during the week, and then I saw you wrote something also. This game has a little bit different feel, LSU-Alabama, without Nick Saban being involved. And the dislike for Nick, I've always believed this.
It's more of a love-hate thing.
It's a hate-hate. I'm just telling you. And I told this to Coach Saban. It's not about hate. It's about fear.
Because when he took
that job at Alabama, all of us sort of looked at one another, because if he did that with LSU,
what is he going to do at Alabama
if he stays any length of time? Your thoughts on that? Because I do think the dislike really was based on fear of what he could do. And then once he got started, the fear was, he's coming to town again.
Yeah, he crushed the soul of LSU fans multiple seasons. You know, LSU would have had a lot more national championships if Nick Saban wasn't on the other sideline. I did post something and I said LSU fans need to be very grateful. He actually started this LSU train that we've been on for over two decades. Without him, it would have never started. So it is a love-hate. I used to not like him that much because, again, I knew that LSU was up against it when we were facing a Nick Saban Alabama team, and they did. They dominated LSU many a games, and it took Joe Burrow and that 2019 team to finally break that streak, and then Jaden Daniels. So I do feel it is different this year. It's a guy who isn't from the South, who came in from Washington, and I feel truly that the crowd is going to be a big factor tonight at Tiger Stadium, and it's something Kalen has never seen before. But yes, I agree. I think the Nick Saban thing, he was gracious on set today on College Game Day. And I think I didn't hear any booing or anything like that except when he picked Alabama. But I think the fans were extremely respectful, knowing that he actually started this whole thing for LSU and got LSU back on the national map.
See, I'll repeat something. Pete Jenkins, he's 83 years old, still coaching and still basically kind of grooming defensive linemen, National Football League and college football. And him and I went on a little trip, so to speak, and he was telling me, Mike, he said, I'm going to tell you something. The difference between Nick Saban and Kalen DeBoer, no coach in the last 50 years has won more big games in the fourth quarter than Nick Saban. And he said, they're going to measure, fair or unfair,
yep,
Kalen DeBoer on him pulling games out in the fourth quarter. We think about the games Alabama lost this year. Do you think they lose to Vanderbilt if Nick's on that sideline?
No, they scored 13 points in 4 years against Alabama under Nick Saban. Absolutely not. And I was watching Nick Saban this morning, and one of the things he had a quote, and he is the master motivator. And you can never replicate that. No one can, and that's why he's the GOAT. So I find it a tall order for Kalen DeBoer. He may be a very fine coach, a very good coach, but he is not Nick Saban. And Nick Saban was relentless in his preparation. He was relentless in everything he did. And that bled down to his players. And that's just not there anymore. This is not the same team that LSU has been facing year after year.
I agree. Herb?
Yeah, it's tough for Coach DeBoer to come in and be better than the champion of coaching. You know,
because he's the greatest of all time in college football. In my mind, he's the greatest of all time.
He is, and everybody knows that. Now, with all of that being said, it's DeBoer time, right? So, you know, what do you think DeBoer has to do in order to elude, I guess, a little bit of that mystique of Saban, and not really run away from it, but embrace it and then utilize some of it? What do you think he needs to do in order to get that off of his back?
Well, number one, he's got to win tonight. If you're not going to win these kind of games in the SEC, you're not going to go very far. But what Alabama has shown this year on the road, their losses have been on the road. They have been very susceptible to penalties, pre-start penalties, letting the crowd affect them. That especially was the case in Tennessee. But LSU has got to get Milroe out of rhythm. They can't let him get in rhythm. But for me, for DeBoer, he has got to have a disciplined football team to go into Tiger Stadium tonight. They could say all they want. They said that they were going to bring it tonight, the physicality against LSU. They could say all that, but I'm telling you, that environment is the hardest in all of college football. So they're going to have to play perfect to get out of Death Valley tonight.
Tracy, I think one of the things tonight, it looks as though there'll be some inclement weather in the rain situation. I always think it favors the offense. Defensively, you've got to adjust. Now, you could have a ball fumbled or a snap that's not right into the deal. But I think open field tackling, when you think about their big play guy and Ryan Williams at wide receiver, Jalen Milroe at quarterback, LSU with Caden Durham at running back and those cast of receivers, I think good open field tackling is going to be of the highest order tonight with that weather condition not ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, especially when you have a mobile quarterback. I mean, he torched LSU last year for 155 yards rushing and four touchdowns. So for LSU, it is a totally different defense, but you still have components of last year. Hopefully Baker took these last 2 weeks and got his guys ready for that exact thing, tackling. Zy Alexander is really good at tackling. Whit Weeks, they all have to be on game tonight, and they can't let Jalen Milroe elude and break to the outside, break containment. They have to stay focused and stay in their rush lanes. But tackling is key. I mean, you're going to have plays down the field. You're going to have plays over the middle, and LSU has got to tackle them to make sure they earn every yard.
One of the crazy things, and if I'd have told you this 10 years ago, you'd have put me away. Both teams got trouble running the ball. Now, Alabama's running game is Milroe. LSU, it's still staggering to me that they have not been able to get a running game. I think last year we got kind of suckered in because it was Jaden. He created so many plays on his own, 1,100 yards rushing, that we thought, man, you know, we're going to be able to run the football better this year. They're not built to run the ball, Tracy. And I look at Alabama, they ran the ball pretty well last year with Coach Saban. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the reason why they don't run it good this year is because he's not there, and he wants a power physical team. But both teams, think about how we thought about LSU and Alabama 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago, and what it is today, it's totally different.
Completely.
Both teams are really built upon, with LSU, it's pocket passing, throwing the ball out, big play guy. With Milroe, it's having him move around, make a big play in the passing game. Neither team, when you watch them, it looks like, you know, like two Rams running into one another. Nobody gives up any ground. That, to me, is what we're seeing more and more in college football, of how it has changed so dramatically in a short period of time.
That's right.
Yeah, I think the thing that I hope to see, based on what you said, because it is frustrating, I was at the Ole Miss game, and I was wanting to bang my head into a wall because there were open lanes for Ness to run, and he didn't. I think that they have to be smarter. They have to set up some kind of option play for him to at least keep that defense honest if they can't run the ball with the running backs. They have to keep them honest. He is going to have to be like a Joe Burrow. If it's not there throwing, don't throw it. Just run. Even 2 yards, even a loss is better than what he did at A&M. And throwing the ball the way he did. And I hope to God Ness doesn't throw into double and triple coverage today, because that's not going to end well. They have got to get some semblance of him, even, you know, 2 to 5 times this game, of at least some kind of rushing to keep Bama's defense honest to open up the pass game. Because we have all of our wide receivers should be healthy for this game. That's huge. But you cannot win this game have Ness thrown 50 times. It's just not going to work. It's not going to work moving forward. So they have got to get something done. And Ness has to get it out of his head that he can't just throw his way out of plays or make something happen. You can't do that in today's game, and even on the next level. You have to have some sort of mobility, and he's got to get that done tonight. And that it has to happen for them to win.
Tracy, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I know you got a busy schedule, but you always do a great job for us, and we certainly appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Right.
We'll be back to finish it up here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're closing it up here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. I'd like to tell you, along with Herb Tyler, we're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by. Got great food and drink specials. Yep. And if you don't have a ticket to the LSU-Alabama game, you can watch it here. They got 16 surround sound TVs. Also, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction, and we couldn't do this without them. Herb, I'm going to let you kind of finish it off here on the keys to a Tiger victory tonight.
You forget about Texas A&M 2 weeks ago. First things first. Move on from that. Ride the wave and the energy of the crowd tonight in Tiger Stadium. trust the process. Trust what you've learned for the past 2 weeks about the Alabama football team, and play smart football. That's it. Just play, because this is a game where everything is out the window. You just got to play one play at a time, and you got to play 100%, and you look forward to the next play. It's LSU Alabama. It's one of the greatest games every year that everybody looks to. I bet you if you go back and you look at the TV ratings from this game the last 5-10 years or so, it's going to be through the roof, from, you know, way larger than any other game.
CBS made some money off
I'm
this,
sure,
right, didn't
I'm they? Sure they did. I'm sure they did. And so it's and that's it. And that's what it's about, because this game, you never know which way it's going to go. Most of the time, you know that the home team is going to win, for the most part. That's what it's been, for a couple of outliers. But at the end of the day, that's it. It's just LSU, Bama, 6:30, ESPN, Tiger Stadium, energy lights, all of that. Just go out there and play your game, baby.
Do you think – I would be surprised if somebody blew somebody out tonight, because I think this will be a close game. I really do.
It's two similar teams, same
and
record.
And both flawed
in certain ways that they're normally not, which is crazy. So – I don't know how you win this. I don't know how you blow the other team out.
I don't know either.
I just don't know. But, I mean, I would be surprised. But then again, you know, it's LSU football. They can beat anybody on any given day by any point, or they can lose to anybody on any given day by any point.
That is true.
So, and then apparently Alabama's the same way. So, you know, this year anyway. So it's going to be tough, but I think it's going to be a close game. I think they both are going to come out, you know, swinging for the fences and trying to do the right thing and trying to win this game tonight, shall I say. But I just think LSU playing at home is really going to be the difference maker.
We didn't talk about it, but they've had trouble in the secondary matching up. Man, my top receiver's been Kyron Lacy. So, you know what? I'm going to pump that early to try to get Kyron involved in the game, you know, because Kyron's almost good for one drop every game.
He's going to give it to you.
but
he's going to make it up,
but he's going to make it up to you.
Yeah.
I would try to pump that football early to Lacy and see how well they react from a secondary standpoint. And I think that opens up everything else. The one thing with Kyron, you know, I don't want him running anchor on my football 400-meter relay team. But, man, you know, he catches the ball most of the time. Yeah. And his ability to move the chains.
Well, here's the thing. The thing with Kyron, Kyron's going to show up when it's time.
Yes.
That's the thing. So you give him the opportunity, he's going to show up. Now, you got to allow Aaron Anderson to do his thing. You got to allow Daniels, if he plays, to do his thing. And then, you know, let's get the ball to the tight ends.
But Mason Taylor, trade
yes,
green.
Before we do any of that, too, let's establish some kind of running game.
Man, we've been saying that every week.
We gotta
I don't know.
Push people
that.
Around, too, not just, you know, draw plays and stuff like that. Push them around, get upfield, let's make it happen.
Thank you for listening to another version of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillo along with Herb Tyler at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge. Hey, we'll throw it to the LSU Radio Network. And then at 6:30 tonight, kickoff, the LSU Fighting Tigers against the Alabama Crimson Tide. You can hear it right here on the Big 870 WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.